You want to come? I'm not suffering.
I want to wish everybody a good morning. Glad we're all here. I want to express a welcome to our visitors, and glad you're here. Glad you decided to stop in and worship with us, and we're always glad to have you. And it's good to see Naoma and Dustin and Shara, Naoma's sister. And so just think how difficult sometimes it's for Naoma and Dustin to get here. That's a good example for us to want to be here. So we're glad we're all here. Let's remember the ones in our prayer list. Ken and Sandy White. Pearl Hyatt is expected to come home sometime this month. Doug said she got the cast or the brace off of her wrist where she broke her thumb. She's probably going to be glad to be back home. She's been gone for a while. I talked to Sister Ross about Sue, and she said Sue was having therapy on her right shoulder, and they say it's not doing any good, so she's got an appointment to go see, I believe, somebody in the orthopedic line to see what's going on with that. So let's remember Sue in our prayers, too. Our shut-ins are Rose Beatty, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Dustin Jackson, Jack and Millie King, and also we can, you know, Naoma was shut in there for a while, and we're glad that they're back. But let's remember our shut-ins. There's a special announcement from Doug. Ben and Erica Berry, the parents of Milo, delivered their healthy baby boy, Solomon Loveberry, September 8th at 9:16. He weighed 6 pounds and I believe 8 ounces. And it said the home is filled with love and joy. And Doug says, let's praise God for the birth of, I believe, a new grandson. So congratulations. Upcoming birthdays and anniversaries on the 12th of October. Catherine Wright, I believe, is a birthday. Makisha Williams is on the 17th. And then Odell Williams is on the 28th. James McMillan had mentioned, expressed some concern about the lighting that they're experimenting with different bulbs. And so they put new bulbs in, didn't have enough to do the other side. So when the other bulbs come in, that problem will be alleviated. Also, he mentioned that he had expressed thanks for the ones that came to work day and helped clean up. Like I said, in the back, you can see the results of the work day. Upcoming events, we have the Shadow of Salvation Gospel meeting October 19th to the 22nd at the Paducah, Kentucky Central Church of Christ. There's more information in the back on the bulletin board. And then our listening audience out there in radio land, let's remember we have our website, thechurchofchrist.com. You can stream today's sermon and other sermons from other churches. Sermons here on, it's a 24-hour Christian broadcasting, so you can pick all that up if you want to hear more lessons from this congregation or other congregations that's hooked up on that. Our song leader today is James McMillan. Our first prayer will be given by Charles Wall. The ones that are doing the Lord's Supper are James Miller and Mike Porter. And Don DeMario has a scripture reading today, which is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. And Doug has our sermon today, The Righteous Life. And then our closing prayer will be done by David Morris. And also the evening sermon will be on favoritism. And let's remember, too, on Sundays we have class at 9:30 in the morning, sermon or preaching at 10:30. Sunday evening worship is at 5, and Wednesday night worship is at 6. Have I left anybody out? Is there any other announcements? Anything anybody else needs to say? If not, we'll leave it to Mr. McMillan.
Our first song selection this morning is 348, 348. Jesus is all the world to me.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day, without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go, no other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives him more and more. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, watches for me day and night, following him by day and night. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when my pleading day shall live. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Our next song selection is 447, Near to the Heart of God. 447, if you follow along in the songbook.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, love who waits me for thee, near to the heart of God. There is sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, who waits before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Heart of God, hold us
prayer.
We're thankful to Heavenly Father for another Lord's Day. We have the privilege to come together to worship you, the true and living God, and your Son Jesus that gave us the word and let us always put you first. And mindful, Father, those of our number that are not this fortunate, I pray you bless those on the prayer list and those at homebound. Help them, Father, to have strength and courage. We pray, Father, for this great country we live in is full of turmoil. We pray all this anxiety and fear can all be laid aside and we can live together in peace. We're thankful, Father, for the great commission Jesus gave when he said, go into all the world, and Saline County is part of that world, Father, and help us to design ways to go out and reach these 10,000 people who live here, and which have 90% of those people have children. Help us design ways that we might go out and reach them and bring them to the fold. Pray, Father, you bless everybody that needs our prayers. Many, Father, that's lost loved ones, we pray you bless them, Father, in their terrible loss. Help them to have comfort. We pray that you'll be with all need our prayers and bring us back tonight at 5 o'clock and Wednesday evening at 6. Give us a good day. Forgive our sin. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we'll sing 621, 10,000 Angels, in preparation for the Lord's Supper.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so good and free from sin. They said, crucify him. They suck him and they curse him and
Bow with me. Merciful and almighty God, we're so thankful, Father, that your Son did not call for 10,000 angels to deliver him from the pain, from the agony, from the shame, from the ridicule that was being inflicted upon him, that he endured it quietly as that lamb, Father, because he recognized our need, Father, for salvation, for our hopeless state, Father, that mankind has existed in and would exist in both before and after the time of his life if he had surrendered to pain and suffering and allowed himself, Father, to be delivered. He would have disobeyed your will and he would have brought destruction upon all humanity. Father, we'd be forever lost. But he didn't do that, Father, and we're thankful. We're thankful to commemorate the sacrificed body of Jesus, the only begotten Son of yours, who came down from heaven, made himself to live and suffer the same frailties and same struggles that we all endure in this flesh. And yet where we fail, where we give in to sin and weakness, Father, he remains strong. We're thankful, Father, that this body was a fitting sacrifice. We're thankful, Father, that we can memorialize it by partaking of this bread that was instituted by Jesus so many years ago in that upper room with the apostles, where he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So we share together this same meal, Father, that they did so many years ago in memorial of Jesus' sacrifice. We share together that hope, Father, that they had, that their sins would not be held against them, that they would have an eternal home with you in heaven. And so we share that today, Father. And men and women have for all ages and will for all ages be able to have that relationship with you that leads to eternity. Bless your church now and always as we partake. Help us, Father, to properly discern this great and mighty gift and just how benefited we are from it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue. Most righteous and heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your son, Jesus. You sent him down from your side. He voluntarily came to this earth. You know, he knew he was going to be tortured, humiliated. The devil pushed him through so many tests, trying to humiliate him. It was the greatest thing that you could ever do for us. You know, as he was drinking that fruit of the vine, he said, "This is my blood. Take this in remembrance of me." Mm-hmm. You know, he knew he was going to sacrifice himself on that cross, the torture and torment. I can't understand how someone could love us so much that he would go through all that pain. We just thank you, and thank your son, Jesus, as we drink this fruit of vine in remembrance of the blood that he sacrificed for redemption of our sin. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our observation of the Lord's Supper is complete. While we're conveniently assembled here, we see another commandment given to the church in Corinth that was also given to the church in Galatia, that they are to lay by in the store on the first day of the week. And so we continue that practice, that same commandment that was given to them is inferred for us. So the Lord's church today gives just as they did. Would you bow with me? Righteous and merciful God, we recognize, Father, that no blessing can compare to the blessing that Jesus came and paid his very life on the cross for our sins. But although that's the greatest blessing, Father, of yours, it's not the only blessing. You've granted us so many things that we enjoy in this lifetime, Father. You've granted us good health, the resources of life. You've provided for us our time and our talent, and you've called upon us, Father, to use those for your glory and honor. So we seek to do that, and this very moment, Father, we seek to provide from our financial resources another blessing of yours so that your word can prosper here in our community and wherever we have an opportunity to serve in your kingdom. Father, bless this church. Help us to give freely. Help us to devote ourselves to giving in all manners of life. Father, help us to imitate the greatest giver of all, you and your son Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
this time, I would like for you to mark 520 in your songbook. That'll be our song of invitation. 520, it will not be on the overhead. Only a step. Our song before the lesson of the hour is redeemed. 543. 543. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Troubled and sorrow have vanished away. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him I have resigned. I have been redeemed. Great is my joy as onward I go. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. All the way homeward my treasure shall flow. I'm redeemed,
I'm redeemed,
I love
thee mine.
Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to Him,
all to Him,
I now resign.
I now resign,
I have been redeemed. Precious indeed is my Savior to me. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Happy in glory, someday I shall be.
I have been redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
My
love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign.
Our scripture reading this morning will be from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray, give many pages. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them another also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you.
Thank you. When we talk about being righteous, we know that that means to be right with God. And that's the life that God desires for us. He wants us to be right with Him and to follow after His path and His way. The Bible talks a lot about righteousness, the New Testament particularly. And in James chapter 1, we have a very good lesson that James lays out for us very nicely today. God wants us to be righteous means that God wants us to be like Him. In verse 18, he says, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. Of course, we know that we are to be born again, as Jesus commanded in John chapter 3, to be born of the water and of the Spirit.
But he tells us here that we are to be born through the word of truth. That means that's where we learn how to be born, is through the word of truth, the word of God, and so that we could be of first fruits. You know what it's like, right? The first fruits that you're looking for in the spring or something, when there's, to me, raspberries was always something that was important that I liked where we lived in South Dakota. When the raspberries first started sitting on, we had some wild raspberry bushes close by us, and so we would want to go pick them. But my dad always said, don't pick them too soon. But the first ones were always the best tasting, you know, because they were the first ones that we had had for a long time that were fresh and clean and good. And so we had raspberries then. Well, we are God's raspberries, if you will, in this case, in this story, that he wants us to be the very first in his kingdom, the part of his kingdom, that we could be a part, the most important thing of his creation that he said. And this comes through the word of God. We know that the word of God, we can't live without it. And some of our songs this morning talked about the word of God, and I appreciate that so much. That now we know that it comes through Jesus Christ, right? That Jesus Christ, as we took of the do this in remembrance of me, is through his sacrifice on the cross, through his shedding of the blood, that we have this new life and this new hope. But particularly one of the things that we need to remember is that where do we learn about that? Through the word of God. And God knew that, and he gave us his word so that we would know how to become what he wants us to be. And this is so important. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Well, God oftentimes in the Bible tells us specific things that he says, like, hear this, listen to this. In the old King James, it would say, verily, verily, I say unto you, right? That means, or truly, truly, as some other translations say it. That means, pay attention. Well, he's telling us here to pay attention to what he wants us to do and to note. Everyone should be, well, quick to listen. Yes, quick to listen to the word of God. I think that's what, because that's the context of what we're talking about tonight, or this morning, that we should be quick to listen and to the word, but also we should be quick to listen to each other. We need to be better listeners. I think everybody does at some point in some time. Remember sometimes when you get in a conversation with someone and they're telling a story and you just can't wait to tell your story? Well, that's important because you got to listen to their story all the way through so you get what they're talking to, so you really know what they're sharing with you. And not just stories, but life. And we need to learn to listen to God's word. Because when we listen to God's word, then we can truly know what God wants. We should also be slow to speak. Well, some of us are, you know, we're shy when we were kids. I never was one of those. But I knew a lot of people, a lot of kids that were. But when they said something, they meant it. It was really important. You need to stop and listen and hear what they have to say to you. And take note of it because it's important. God wants us to listen to him. He wants us to hear what he's saying to us. And so many times it's easy just to read through the Bible and just get the high points. But we need to listen to it all the way through so that we can get to all of what God is telling us. And then he says, be slow to anger. Remember, the Bible tells us not to let the sun go down on our anger, right? Not to let our sun go down. That means you need to take care of this. And even more than that, just don't. I mean, the better thing would be to do what? Probably not to get angry at all. And it's easy, isn't it, to get angry about things in life that happen to us. Something happens and you get, oh, I get so frustrated with that, you know, or what it might be like that. Or someone in traffic cuts you off, or someone says something to you that's just not nice. Or says, and you find out, or somebody just hear about somebody saying, well, they've been talking about me behind my back, and you get angry. That's not the solution, God says, to righteous life. The solution is to be slow to anger. Matter of fact, he tells us that we need to get rid of anger and evil altogether. In verse 20, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, we know that Jesus was angry sometimes, don't we? I mean, he cleansed the temple. He was angry at the people for abusing his father's temple. We know that Jesus was angry at the Pharisees for their false teaching. But it wasn't like he you know, did things that were evil to them or bad to them because of his anger. But what about us? Do we have that right? Well, we should not be happy about things that are evil in our world today. That's true. We should not do that. But if we continue to be angry, it doesn't help us to be right with God, because it's taking us down a wrong path. Now, we can be displeased with it, we can do something about it, but just being angry isn't the answer. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. Now, there's a lot of evil in our world, but the context here, right here, is anger. He says, we need to get rid of all of that moral filth. Now, there's a lot of moral filth in our world today, isn't there? A lot of moral filth. You just can't hardly turn on anything today without seeing some moral filth being put across TV or, you know, Facebook or whatever it might be. We just need to watch out what's going on in our world today and get rid of it out of our lives. And the evil that is so prevalent. Do you think it was just happening today? Was evil just present today? Or was it evil back in Bible times? It was very much back there then too. They were people just like we're people. And they got angry and they had evil in their world today. Just think about the Temple of Diana, for example. They had prostitutes, both male and female prostitutes, as a part of their religion. You know, there was all kinds of moral filth that was going on in their world in too. And so we need to understand that God does not want this. Remember why Noah's Ark was necessary? It says because the thoughts of the people were evil continuously. So as Christians, if we want to be right with God, then we need to make sure that if we're asking other people to try to do things to be righteous, to be right with God, we need to start with us, don't we? It's got to start at home, as the saying goes. It's got to start with us. And humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. How do you get rid of these things? What's our solution? Where's our answer going to be? It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God, so that when we go to the Word of God, it's been planted in our hearts. It's been planted in our lives. Why do we need to teach? Why teach our children about these things? How diligent do we need to be? In the Old Testament, it says you need to put it on your forehead, right? You need to put it where it's prevalent and always see and always know. And most of the time, the normal person didn't have the Old Testament to turn to. Now, they had it read to them. They were taught in the synagogues. But they did not have the benefit of the Bible like we have today. So if we have the Bible as our source today, what should we do with it? Accept it and fill our hearts, fill our lives with the Word of God. Why? It can save us. Knowing God's Word and God's way is going to save us from sin. It's going to save us from condemnation and give us the right to eternal life with Jesus Christ. So what do? We need to listen. Remember, we talked about listening earlier, but it's not just listening. It's a matter of doing what we're called to do. In verse 22, do not merely listen to the Word of God and so deceive yourselves. Again, when you're reading the Bible, when you're studying the Bible in class or at home, you need to let it sink in. You need to act upon the Word of God. Don't just listen to it and let it pass by. He says, do what it says. Faith always includes actions. The book of James is famous for what? Faith without works is dead, right? And so he's telling the people here right in the beginning of the book of James that do what it says. Easier said than done, right? You know, sometimes that was one of my, of course, you keep getting my dad-isms sometimes from me, but that was one of my dad-isms, you know, that we do it this way, that it's easier said than done, but that doesn't mean you don't do it. If you know what the right thing to do is to do, then you do it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If we want our faith to become actions, then we need to not just hear what we do, but we need to follow the word of God, follow the word of Christ. Let our hearing become faith, our faith become actions, and do what God calls us to do. But what if you listen and you don't do what the word of God says? Is that enough? Anyone, verse 23 says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, here's the hammer coming down, okay? If you listen but don't do, it's like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, that's pretty challenging, isn't it? Do you forget what you look like after you leave the mirror? Well, what we're going to talk about here in a minute is the mirror, okay? Think about that mirror for a minute. We don't carry, I don't know. I think I've seen some mirrors in women's purses, but ladies, I'm not picking on you, okay? But maybe we should always have a mirror that we carry around so we can look at and see what we look like. Why? As far as God is concerned, because when we look at the mirror, we might not like what we see. This poor fellow has pimples and messed up hair and all kinds of problems. You know, he's looking at that mirror and he thinks, man, I should do something about it. When we read the Word of God, this is what we should be doing. We see the Word of God. We see it in our lives. We see it, what we should be doing. And if we walk away and just go on like life, like we always have been doing without change in our life, then we're like this guy. He looks at the mirror and he goes away and says, look how beautiful I am. How strong I am. I don't have any pimples on my face. People, we've got pimples in our lives that we need to change and that we can be changed by going to the Word of God. We can change and become what God wants us to be. As we look into the Word of God, we can become right with God. We can have that righteous life that God so wants for us and that we should want for ourselves. Verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. In other words, what does the Word of God do? It gives us freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom to be right with God, freedom from the old law, freedom. But if you look at that and you just continue to walk away from it without changing, not forgetting what he has heard, okay, this is here, but doing it. Theme of James again, right? Faith without works is dead. We need to do what the Word of God says. If we read it, we need to live it and act upon it so that we can be right with God. Well, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we sin. And God gives us as children of God the right to confess our sins before Him and come before Him and walk in the light. He wants us in the light. He wants us to be right with Him. But what we need to do is don't forget what we've read. Don't forget what we've studied. And do what the Word of God does. Now what happens if you're not reading the Word of God? Are you going to get that reflection? What happens if you don't have a mirror in your house? And you think, well, I must look okay. And you go out and everybody looks at your hair and says, man, his hair's a mess. Why does he let himself go like that? You see, we have to have the Word of God in our hearts. The Word of God with us as we live our lives. As we search for our life to be serving the servants of God so we can know what He wants. But if we're not using it, we can't do what it says. We've got to be in the Word so we can do what God's calling us to do. And it says He will be blessed in what He does. God is going to bless us as we walk with Him. He wants us to be right with Him. We can go before God in prayer. We can turn to Him. We can walk. We can teach others. We can do so many things that God wants for us. But it starts with us doing what the Word of God says for our own lives. Therefore, living righteous or being right with God means also controlling our tongue. Verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious. Now this word religious is sometimes misconstrued. It literally means living in godliness. Now there's a lot of different types of people being religious. But being religious like God wants us to be religious, living in godliness, this is what God wants. If you consider yourself living in godliness and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue. There we go again. This kind of relates to me back to that anger that we were talking about. Because anger is not controlling our tongue, not saying the right things. He deceives himself, and his religion, his living in godliness, life or with God, is worthless. So if you're claiming to be righteous but not living with God, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. It's not a matter of just saying, I'm a Christian, therefore I'm going to heaven. No, God wants us to walk with him. The next verse after this, and I didn't put it up here, but it says that we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sins. But you see, if we're claiming to be a child of God, if we're claiming to be religious, if we're claiming to be righteous, but we're not doing it, we lie and do not live by the truth. Therefore, living righteous or with God means caring for widows and orphans. This is a part of it. Now, I say right now, and I'll say it again a little bit, but it's not all of it. This is an example for us. Verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You see, these are people that can't help themselves. In the Bible times, many times, that when a woman became a widow, she did not, if she did not have sons to take care of her, she had nothing. She had no one to take care of her. She had no family. And therefore, she was without, you know, without care. What about orphans? Now, we have people that, we have orphanages as such here. People have grown up in foster care and so on. But I tell you what, one of my first experiences with an orphanage in Ukraine, we called the Blue Orphanage. And I really didn't know what to expect. We were invited to go out and talk to the children, and we were told we could teach Bible at this orphanage. And it was maybe 10 miles outside of the town of where I was working. And it was really, really poor. There was a girls' dorm and a boys' dorm, and the children were there until they were age 16. But there was really not very many restrictions about keeping them apart from each other. And there was a lot of sexual activity that was going on. They had no relationship with God. These are kids that had been abandoned, sometimes because their parents died, or sometimes because they were taken away from their parents because their parents were alcoholics or things like that, and they were put in these care centers. And it was really, really bad. And so we did. We started there. And one time, a brother from the States, he says, I really want to do something for these kids. And so he went to a big market, and he found out what size the shoes they had, and he bought shoes, because many of them didn't have any decent shoes. And he, for every child in that, or about 100 children in that orphanage. So that was a big sacrifice. But the thing is that after he left, and we still continued to go back, the kids weren't wearing the shoes. And so through translator, we asked them, why aren't they wearing the shoes? Oh, they're saving them for special occasions when Americans come to visit. You see, people are destitute in our world today. And they need help, and they need care, and they need compassion. And that's what he's talking to us about here. This is not the sum total of righteous living, but it's the key to what we're talking about. Caring about those who can't care for themselves. Reaching out to those that need salvation. Those that need hope and love. Rather, it's an example how we live and do what is right before God. And a part of that is caring for those who cannot care for themselves. So are you living out what you know to do in Christ? Are you living the righteous life? Are you reading the Word of God and letting it come into your hearts? What if you just hear it and don't do it? Then the Bible says you're not right with God. You're walking in darkness. You need to be walking in Him. To live like God wants, we must be hearers and doers of His Word. So today, won't you come to Him and decide to be a doer, decide to do what He says, to Him to be repent of your sins and turn back to God so that you can have your sins washed away when you're baptized into Christ and live in Him and be a part of the family of God. Won't you come to Him now as together we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say,
come unto me.
I am the way.
Hearken the love, and call obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified. Casting your heavenly burden down, come to the cross, the world may frown. Yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up his own. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gates, loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late, Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified.
Now once again, I want to thank everyone for coming, and we appreciate you being here. God appreciates you being here. So we will return this evening at 5 and have another lesson from Doug. So please, if you're able to come, please come back at 5 o'clock this evening so that we can hear another portion of God's will. Is there any announcement has been forgotten to announce today? James?
Yeah, I forgot to mention Ken and Sandy White and their family, their prayers with the ongoing health problems with Sandy. And I forgot to mention health concerns for the Blair family, and they need our prayers too. So sorry I forgot it. I guess my Bible was around the way.
James mentioned the White family, which is indeed in need of our prayers, and also the Blair family. Each and every one of them have special needs. God knows their needs, and God will help through prayer. So please continue to pray for them and all the ones that are on our prayer list.
There are several cards outside to be signed for birthdays, as well as just sort of letting people know we miss them.
They're on the right, correct? There's birthday cards and cards that need to be signed by the members. Or if you're, even if you're not a member and you want to sign the card, go ahead. They're back here on the table on the right as you go out the door. So please look at those individual cards. If not, we'll be dismissed with a prayer.
Let's pray together. Father, we're so very thankful to be able to be here today and in fellowship with one another and with you. Father, help us to take serious your word, to take serious the example of Jesus, for he is truly the righteous one. Father, and help us to see his example and to follow that. Father, help us to be busy about putting aside sin and looking for righteousness, that filling our life with right. And we know, Father, if we fill our hearts and our minds with enough righteousness, sin won't have a very good place to get a foothold. So help us to think on that. Help us to live a life out amongst our peers and our friends and our relatives and our co-workers, that they can see Jesus living in us, Father. Father, for Sandy White, we pray, Father, that you would be with her. And Father, for Josh Blair, we pray for him and his recent diagnosis, that Father, that they can come up with a regimen of treatment for him. That way he can have a better life, Father. We know he wants to have less pain and less problems. And Father, he knows, and we know that he'll be using more of that freedom to serve you. And Father, we want that for him. Father, we're thankful for Naoma and Dustin, for them to be able to be with us today. We're very encouraged by that. We pray for their continued strength. And Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of life, Father. You look down upon us as your children because that's what we are. And Father, we know that you want what's best for us. Help us to seek your will each and every day. As we depart here, Father, help us, Father, to carry this message, the message of Christ, to those that know it not. Bless us now and forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Walk down the stairs.
Yeah. Right.